where it was you scratch my back and I get my back scratched.
Such a great leadership principle.
It's just like a really selfish, self-serving.
Hey, welcome to ARC Youth Conversations, also known as AYC, where we talk to students about God, life, and everything in between. Now, let's get started. All right. My question.
All right, let's do it.
Different. It's on a personal level. You've had three different positions here on staff.
Yeah.
You have been a worship pastor in junior high. Mm-hmm. You were then on media team. Mm-hmm. And now you're a youth pastor in junior high, again, in a different form of fashion. What has been the difference in what was spiritually required of you in all those seasons?
Dang. Well, I think I was definitely in different seasons of my spiritual walk. Mm-hmm. Whenever I started, I was 20. I was 20 years old, 19, 20.
Yeah.
So obviously much different spiritual place than I am now.
Yeah.
And I was in very much a still trying to kind of figure out, like, what is my role in ministry? I'm still figuring some things out, but you know, I'm much more secure now in my walk with the Lord than I was then. And,
right.
And I think you factor in like leadership and all that stuff and learning like how to lead people and how to run projects. And so it's like, I think in my season in worship, I was very focused on the growth and learning aspect of it. And actually, if I could go back and do it again, I would focus a little less. I was very focused on my progression. It's a good way to put it. Like, I was focused on growing, and that sounds good. Like,
yeah.
It sounds good to say, like, yeah. I was
passable
like,
on most yeah, conversations.
Like, yeah. I was really wanted to grow.
Yeah.
But so much so that all I really cared about was, like, I just want to get better, you know, and I just want to get and better at anything and everything. And so if I could go back, then I think I missed a lot of opportunities in just investing in people and being available for people. I was so focused on all the stuff that I had to do that I look back and I'm like, man, I got some cool stuff done. Like, I did some cool stuff.
Right.
But like, there are people that I think back on and I go, I mean, I probably didn't give them as much time as I should have, you know, or like I didn't spend as much time with them as I should have, or I didn't,
yeah.
I wasn't, a big verse that's been in me personally, like a personal verse for me the last few weeks is, refresh others and you yourself will be refreshed. And that idea of like spending yourself for other people, I didn't do that early on. Mm. And so, what it required of me, I think in that department, that specific role, a high level of excellence. So like really, you know, like being focused and working hard and like, you know, music in any church, non-church, whatever, there's always a level of like, you want to be the best you can be, you know, and it's easy to measure. In some roles, it's hard to measure whether or not you're good at it.
Right.
Music's kind of easy
pastorally,
to measure.
Pastorally, it's kind of ambiguous.
It is. Pastorally is like, I mean,
There's some clear-cut answers that are very, I think, painful.
Yeah, right.
To say like, okay, I don't know if it's actually going to get a lot better because
of
the gifting
from
the Lord. But yeah, with music, it's like, honestly, you either got it or you don't.
Yeah, you're good or you're not. Like, you know, and so it's pretty, and it's easy to listen. You can hear one and go, okay, they're not that
very
great.
Very quickly.
You know? So just the nature of being in music, I think that role required that, but I also think I just leaned really heavy into like, man, I just want to be the best. I want to be the best singer, the best songwriter, the best, you know, guitar player, whatever. And so, not that that was asked of me. I think I put that pressure on myself, you know, that requirement on myself.
Yes.
Media was different because it was, you know, all right, worship ministry was obviously almost as on stage as it gets. Next to preaching, you know, very like you're on stage, you're in front of people. Media, the complete opposite end of the spectrum. So you're behind the screen, you're, you know, like I was in charge of social media for the church, graphic design, all that stuff. So that required me to now, if I had any pride, it was like, okay, well now like I could do a ton of stuff and no one's going to know that it was me.
Yeah.
You know, like
true.
If I'm on stage and I do great, hey, that's Nate. He did awesome.
Yeah. It's a dark room developing.
Right. Yeah. Whereas in media, I could create a ton of great looking designs and wayfinding and billboards and social media, and like no one knows it's me,
right?
So I think I really had to learn how to do it really unto the Lord and go, I'm gonna work hard because it's for the Lord, mm-hmm. not for me and my recognition, or
right,
you know. And really I think what the Lord helped me in later on was in the idea of service. Like, I'm here to service first God, mm-hmm. then I'm here to service his church,
right,
and his people.
Yeah.
And so I think it took me a couple years to kind of like get into that mindset. But once I was able to kind of flip that switch and go, now I'm my role here is to service people, mm-hmm. that made, I feel like I got more effective.
Right.
Because I wasn't thinking about Nate's progression and Nate's success and Nate's whatever, you know?
Right.
And then now, moving back into, you know, a stage front facing role, I'm grateful for how the Lord worked it out, because I think if I had gone worship and then I had just kind of kept climbing the ladder, or if I had gone to, you know, more stage, more pastoral stuff right off the bat, mm-hmm. I don't know that I would have ever made the adjustment of service.
Mm.
You know, I don't think I would have ever made that switch to, yeah. like, I'm yeah. here for people. Like, my message is not to like, so that I sound good. It's so that people hear the gospel. It's so that people grow and learn more about the Lord, you know? And so that really helped me, I think, set me up to where, of course, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to make all the right decisions, but I think it at least got my feet in the right place where I'm able to kind of go, okay, it truly is not about me, and it's about the service of people and loving who the Lord cares about, you know. So I'm growing in that right now, and I'm learning. I mean, just that refreshing others. I'm really trying to lean more into the, I guess, relational and service side of things, you know, because it's not as media was so task driven, and that's where if I in my comfort zone, I could live and operate there for the rest of my life. Just like, give me a task list, I'll knock it out.
Yeah.
You know?
There's joy of just looking at a list and you're crushing.
And there's comfort in that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like
the little task of just crushing through a day.
Totally.
They say that's the actual thing with small church pastors. That's sometimes a lot of where they find actually fulfillment. And I understand this
because
I've been through it myself. Where you can find fulfillment in a smaller ministry is because you have to do so many different various kinds of tasks before you're done with the day.
Yeah.
That you've taken phone calls, you've done counseling, you've preached a message, you fixed the toilet, you mopped the floors, and you might have had a absolute bomb of a message, and bomb in the bad way.
Yeah.
Like, it just bombed. It just wasn't that good. You were distracted. And let's not act, listeners, that doesn't happen.
We are aware.
I know sometimes in church culture we pump up every message hot. I'm like, sometimes it's okay.
Yeah.
Where small church pastors can get hung up is, man, the congregation might be low, offering might not have been great, but the toilet got fixed.
Yeah.
And the phone
calls, you
kind of
lean back on the
yes,
you can fall back on it,
and you cleaned and you fall back on the small tasks.
Yeah.
And the fact that in a large ministry like this, we're very specialized. You got to run and do these couple things.
Yeah.
And you do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Where in most ministries, you need to do like 12 things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it understandably, you can spread your bets.
Yeah.
And the guys who are really good at all those things also run naturally into the ground.
Yeah.
At an early age.
Because once you get into the flow of where you're just cranking, you almost, it's like, why stop?
Right.
You know?
And with ministry, it's hard to tell, to know when to stop, when it's appropriate to stop, because you'll guilt yourself into not stopping.
Yep.
And I've done that 1,000 times over by now, unfortunately. Knowing better and yet not knowing I'm falling into temptation of just grinding it out and just being like, we're there and we're working and we're doing it. And it's just like, I'm tired and like home's life's tired.
Yeah.
And so there is that balance. Just a thought, though. It's interesting because I know that all those positions have, they call out different things in you. You're in a different season of life.
Yeah.
And it is, it varies, because one was up front, literally.
Yeah.
And
honestly, and I mean, I can say this now, like looking back on it, I'm grateful that the Lord brought me here. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was really ready for that kind of exposure. Mm-hmm. And I think I let it get to my head early on. Mm-hmm. And I had to backtrack and I had to backpedal, you know? Oh,
yeah.
And so it's like, yeah. it was very easy to slip into that. I'd never would have said, oh yeah, it's about me and my success. But like looking back now, I'm like, yeah, I totally made it about me and my success multiple right. times, you know?
Right. I think if I would have headed to a larger ministry in the position and role I was in out of college, I don't know if I would have had the spiritual fortitude to have a long-term
yeah.
run.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have got to my head as far as growth metrics. I said I wasn't about numbers, and I found out in that small church I was. And it was a problem.
Yeah.
It hurt. So it in all phases of life, I wanted to take us on this part of the conversation because it's important, you know, if you're listening, if you haven't been, if you're like, where are they going with this?
Ministry or not.
You're not going to feel internally like you've made it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's, when you're younger, you're just like, am I just going to feel like when I have that, yeah. when yeah. I'm there?
When I make it.
When I make it.
Yeah. When I figure it out.
When I finally, like when I finally relationship. When I'm finally dating. Yeah. When I'm finally yeah. starting.
When I get when it figured out.
When I get it figured out. When I'm finally number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't feel it. When
and then you get there.
You get there.
And you don't feel like you're there.
No, because then you realize there's yeah. more after that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another yeah. there that you've already moved yeah. on to, yeah. and you're like, well, if I get there.
Yeah.
And it's contentment has to be, it has to be found in the Lord.
Because
mm-hmm. the danger of ministry is probably one of the biggest pitfalls I've ever had, is what's next?
Hmm.
Or what's next turns into the darker side of that is never enough.
Hmm.
Is never enough. Never enough work, never enough, you know, people, never enough.
And you can fall into that in any area of life. Any ministry, non-ministry, marriage.
Because I remember being
career,
I remember
anything.
Being a teenager and finally getting that girl like me.
Yeah.
And being like, okay.
Yeah. I thought it would like, I thought make it me would, feel better.
Yes, because yeah. you had the butterflies prior. And mm-hmm. then they say they like you, and for a moment it's awesome. And then you're like, I didn't actually yeah. make me whole.
Right.
It didn't fill.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't fill that spot, and it brings us always back to the Lord of like, so God, how do I end up being satisfied? Mm-hmm. And I think we get older with social graces and different demands and responsibilities. I think we think it's something different. But in the beginning of our faith, the same is true in the end of our faith, in the maturity. It has to come back to finding yourself with Jesus and what he's yeah. called us to do. And it truly is that simple, and we overcomplicate ginormously.
Yeah.
Ginormously. Okay, great. That was a different.
all over the place.
Yeah, all over the, all over the place. I want to end on a more casual note because yeah. we did jump in early.
That was great. Yeah, we dove right in.
We dove right in. We've talked about Pokemon. We've talked about Star Wars. Now, I want you to explain to the crowd because they'll better get to know you, Nate.
Oh,
how
no.
did you get into?
Oh, no.
You need to give
I
us a short version. You have to give us
going.
A short version. How did you get into being a DM, which is a a dungeon master. if you basically you're running a game called Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. which is a simplified version to say a narrative based game
yes.
with chance involved,
yes.
correct? Because there's yes. dice. So
the best way I can explain D&D is it's like a video game board game.
Okay.
In a video yeah. game,
but
you,
open
you
sandbox.
Play as a yeah.
It's a sandbox.
It's a sandbox video game. Yeah. You play as a character. You can kind of go do what you want. You follow missions. You whatever.
Yes.
That's essentially. Okay, short answer. Because
you wrote a book, right? You're writing a book, correct?
I've written multiple.
You've written multiple books.
I mean, I use the term books loosely. They're they're modules. So,
okay. How long are they?
The longest one I did was like 40-something pages.
Good Lord Jesus.
So
yeah.
So a friend, he actually works here, Alex yeah. Saavedra.
Mm-hmm.
He, whenever he started, he worked under me for about a year before I moved over to youth.
Yeah.
And he, all of his friends played a Star Wars version of Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
So it's D&D format, but in the Star Wars like world.
Right.
And he was like, "Hey man, dude, I play this game. Like, I think you'd love it." And I was like, "Dude, I don't know." You know, I'd always like seen guys like play D&D, and like Stranger Things came out. You know, like D&D was real big. Everyone was talking about it. And so he invited me to play a few other guys, and I was 30 minutes into that game, and I was like, "This is the greatest thing I've ever played in my entire
life." It just fit like a glove.
Yeah. And then the more I got into like the DM side of it, which is like the leader side of it, we go super nerdy. But basically, it just everything I love. All the creative stuff, all the storytelling stuff, music stuff, design, like everything. It's just, it's all there.
Yeah.
And so Alex got me into it. It's been like a year and a half, and it's like how I spend a lot of my evenings now.
There it is. Working on it. There it is. Cause you're working on another module, correct? That you've collaborated with different people on staff. Is it thematically different from your other ones?
The one I'm working on right now is going to be like, I mean, if I don't know if I'm going to sell the whole thing, but like if I did type it all out, put it all in a book, it'd probably be 100 plus pages.
Oh my gosh.
Cause it's like it's pretty in depth. Like there's a lot of towns, a lot of people in the towns, a lot of missions, a lot of like side quests. So
you've made town names, you've made town folk names.
Oh yeah.
You've made a whole land. You've probably made terrariums of how they zones in which they live in.
Maps is big in D&D, so like, I designed map maps
looks like and, you know. Yeah, so it was a fast slippery slope for you
where
you're
like, extremely fits. Fast and slippery
where you're like, this fits my new drug of choice, and you've sold them online.
I mean, I'm here and there. Not making much at all.
Yeah, you're not like
I'm basically just
I made six G's the other weekend.
The money that I spend on the hobby, I probably make that much back. So I'm really not like making money at the end of the day.
Yes.
But it makes it worth it because it's like,
yeah,
I enjoy it and I love it.
I haven't been able to quite pull the trigger. We had a pretty crazy month in my last household where it was just one of those months where like I'm exhausted when I get home.
Yeah.
And now he's pregnant. So I'm doing some house chores, getting things done, she's about to hit the nesting phase, which means. Got to basically get things ready for baby.
Yeah. Just a big face.
Yeah, big face. And I will someday. I have the bullet points of it. I don't know how deep I'll go to. Someday I will write a book on how to be the worst possible leader you can.
Dude, we have like talked about this, and I cannot wait till
pure
the day.
Satire. I've looked in it. There is not a book out there.
I cannot wait till the day.
Can
you give us a couple of the chapters?
That satirizes the leadership. I think one of them was, you might have a watch, but I have all the time. I was going to give a foreword to...
Just terrible leadership advice.
To like dictators. When they're like, hey, thanks... Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Hitler, you really paved the way, literally with people, for this book to happen. And just like, I would just endlessly quote horrible people through history and be like, if you're going to be the worst possible leader, there was, Nate likes this comment. I stole it from a comic like 12 years ago from a clip no one remembers in a show that no one watches anymore, where it was, you scratch my back and I get my back scratched.
Such a great leadership principle.
It's just like a really selfish, self-serving, terrible, like how to just be the worst person and continue to lead other people. Yeah. And I think it was like all work, no family, like,
you take leadership advice, very common leadership advice,
right?
And you just flip it around,
flip it,
that it sounds outrageous,
right? You go,
but there's actually some learning to it because you realize how ridiculous it would be to lead that way.
But here's the unfortunate part about writing this book. They were considered leaders. So you can actually be a terrible leader and successfully lead.
you can successfully lead as a terrible leader.
As a horrible person.
Yeah.
And
that's gotta be like in the summary of the book. Learn how to lead successfully end terribly.
Yeah, I think like it was tyrannical leadership was going to be the title. Of course, it would be like 90s red font with like a beige background.
Yeah,
and I would go as I would probably go by a ghost. Yeah, I would go by a ghost name.
For sure. Just hire a ghostwriter. Someone just types it out for
ghost
you. Ghostwriter,
or like I go by a pen name.
Yeah,
Hugh Jankles.
Gosh.
It would be Hugh Jankles would probably be the ghost writing name.
And you just start showing up to conferences and doing podcasts. And
if I really want to go hardcore, this episode has to be over. If I really want to go hardcore, honestly, here's the easiest way to do it. I would have to just have a mic and pre-record like 5 episodes of the podcast and just dump it prior and then try to release the book.
Yeah.
I know a friend who has released a book.
Okay.
Actually, I know 2 people. One released a children's book.
Yeah.
It should be a children's book.
Oh, my gosh.
There should be an illustrator.
An illustrated version.
Children's. How to be a terrible
And it's like
leader.
how to successfully lead in preschool.
Well, like, there should be a children's book on how to be like a terrible child.
Yeah.
Like,
See, now we're franchising now and we're making spinoffs.
It's the spinoff, the child. Yeah. So it's like Terrible Tommy.
Yeah. It's like how to be a terrible teenager.
Each page is just like him.
How to be a terrible spouse.
Basically,
like
we're chicken noodle souping this whole thing for the soul. Yeah. That is a real deep pull. But yeah, I think Terrible Tommy does like each page he just keeps progressively doing something.
I like it.
Something wrong.
I like it.
And then it shows him growing up to adult.
Yeah.
Leading a fascist government. You know, light stuff, light work. Well, Arc Youth, if you haven't stopped doing the dishes by now, or other menial tasks, or maybe you're homeschooler with some extra time, we're glad you listened to this episode.
Hope you learned something.
Hope
something.
I hope some nugget fell off the tray that was this meal that you can grab. So get yourself some ketchup. It's gonna be good eating. Some yum yum. All right. I'll see you.
No, I want to end it on yum yum.
Okay.